Good morning, everyone. It's so great to see you here. Can we just praise the name of the Lord this morning? Can we all lift our voices this morning and praise the name of the Lord? Amen. Greatness of the Lord this morning.
By faith we can see it afar. joy through the ages to sing of His love for me. Singing, how marvelous, how wonderful in my song shall it.
Thankful that we serve a God that truly loves us and wants to have a relationship with us. And maybe you're here today and God's just been working in your life. Maybe you've been fighting with God a little bit. You know, I don't know. We all come through different walks of life, but no matter what's going on in your life, God doesn't need you to get to a perfect place. God doesn't need you to get everything in your life together. God just needs a willing heart. God just needs you to surrender your will to His. So whatever it is that God may be working on in your life today, maybe it's just simple service. Maybe He wants you just to begin a ministry. Maybe He simply wants you to surrender your life in salvation today. Would you surrender your life to God today? Thank you.
everlasting song. And holy, holy, holy is the Lamb upon the throne. Rejoice with all of heaven in the everlasting song. Holy, holy, holy is the Lamb upon the throne. Rejoice.
Celebrate the Lord this morning. Isn't He worthy?
God alone is holy, amen. God alone is worthy, amen. If you believe that, you're going to like today. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 6. We're going to be in verses 1 through 13. Chris read one of those verses for us earlier, but we'll be covering if God wills, all 13 verses. Obviously, this is an audible from the usual. We should be in Philippians today, right? Well, that ain't what God said. Friday night, I was at a Bible study, and I'm going to be honest with you because I'm very human and I try to be transparent with you guys. You guys know how broken I am. We were doing the same text again in the Bible study. I thought, man, why are we doing this? We done been over this. It's time to move on to the next set. I mean, that's just where my heart was, just being honest with you. But let me tell you something. As I sat with this passage, the Lord used His word to expose some things in me. Here are some things that were exposed in me that I hope will help you. I have encountered God through His Word. I have been forgiven of my sins because I placed my faith in Jesus Christ. I have been called by God to go and share His message. I have not been fully trusting in His provision. I am measuring success with the world scoreboard, not God's scoreboard. I must repent and get back to trusting God's message and God's provision. When the Holy King, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, reveals Himself, when He cleanses us of our sin and gives us a message, the only faithful response is this: "Here I am, send me." We see in Isaiah's calling in this passage that three essential realities are present. And we're going to look at them one at a time today. And I trust if you have experienced these same realities, because it's the same God, then today, if you haven't before, we will walk out of here and say, "Here I am, Lord, send me." If we're going to get to the place where we can say, "Send me," we got to embrace God is holy and we are not. What does holy mean? Set apart, separate. He's perfect. Don't go in the wrong direction here. Don't get your feelings hurt right out of the gate. It's just the truth. You're not holy like God. God is set apart. He's high and lifted up. We must embrace that reality if we're ever going to seek to fall up under His kingship. We're going to read verses 1 through 5, but I'm going to do a little stop and go this morning, a little different. In the first verse there, it says, "In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty, exalted, with a train of His robe filling the temple." Isaiah is given a vision of the Lord God Almighty enthroned. Isaiah is in awe. Is that the appropriate response? When we are presented with the Holy of Holies, do we stand in awe? Or are we unimpressed? Earthly kings die, but the Holy One, the Holy King, never dies. Verse 2 says, "Seraphim stood above Him." Pay attention to this. Pay attention to their actions before God. "Each having six wings. With two He covered His face. With two He covered His feet, and with two He flew. And one called out to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory.'" Holy, holy, holy. What's interesting about this is the seraphim live in the presence of God. But in this moment, when they stand before Him, they're in awe as well. They cover their face. They praise God with their lips. We get to verse 4, "And the foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of Him who called out while the temple was filling with smoke." Even the temple, the inanimate, trembles in the presence of God. Verse 5, "Then I said, 'Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.'" Isaiah has an appropriate response to God's holiness. "Woe is me. I am undone. I am unclean. I am unfit in the presence of holiness. That's very different than I have stood in the presence of God my life. But this is the right way to stand in front of God when you're in His presence. Isaiah is petrified. He knew in that moment that he was deserving of death, deserving of punishment. This is not a one-off human response to a holy God. This is a common example that we see throughout the pages of the Bible when people encounter God. They fall on their face in the presence of holiness. Because we are not holy. We're sinful. We live in a world that denies God. We live in a world that refuses to stand in awe in His presence. But when we truly see God's holiness, we don't compare ourselves to others. Isaiah wasn't looking around for his comrades in this moment going, "Hey God, just in case I'm better than him. Hey God, I didn't do as bad as Bobby over here." No, he wasn't worried about nobody but Isaiah in that moment. He recognized his own guilt before holiness. I think of Peter's response to Jesus when he experienced the great catch. Right before Jesus is going to start calling his disciples, they're out there. These are good old boys. I love the disciples. They're fishermen. They're doing what they're doing. They're out there and they fish like I do. They ain't caught nothing all night. They're washing their nets out. They're on the shore. Jesus comes out there and he's got the one thing that they didn't want to hear. Get back to work. Head back out. Throw your nets out. And when they did, what happened? They obeyed the Lord and they experienced a great catch, a great catch so big that it was breaking the nets. And how does Peter respond? Luke 5:8, but when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet saying, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." He realized Jesus' holiness in that moment. An encounter with divine glory should produce within us a realization of where we really stand in front of a holy God, and that is sinful, guilty. Is seeing holiness and realizing our sinfulness before God the first step to becoming willing and sent servants? Some of you are probably thinking, "Man, you were really kind of being kind of hard on us for not being holy and being sinful." Well, guys, one is the truth. And number two, if you can't face that, I don't see how you can take the next step. If you don't realize you need salvation, are you ever going to look for a Savior? If you don't realize that you need forgiveness, are you ever going to ask for it? I'd rather tell you the truth so that you can get to salvation. You're sinful before God. And guess what? It's not a secret. He is well aware that we're sinful. He's well aware that you have chief sinner up here in the pulpit trying to fulfill His calling and falling short every single day. But it's not about me. It's about God. It's about what He has done. And until you realize what He has done, I don't know that you're ever going to go try to get it. But I want you to go get it. I want you to have His forgiveness. We cannot rightly serve God until we see Him for who He is and see ourselves for who we are. A question for you to think about. Several of them. I got three questions here. I want you all to think about them. Really think about this. I think it'll lead you to a good place if you're willing to answer it. First one, when did you experience God for the first time? Think about it. When did God make you aware of your sinfulness? This morning? I don't know. I've said it a few times. When did you realize God's holiness? How did you respond? The rich young ruler walked away. Did you walk away? Has God called you back for another chance to realize His holiness, to realize your sinfulness, and to give you that gift, extend that gift to you one more time? Today, I don't know. We've got to recognize how far we fall short before the holiness of God. It's just something we've got to know. We've got to face it. It's the truth. If we're going to get to a place to say, send me, then we must embrace that God takes away our iniquity and forgives our sins. So there's the hope. If you were discouraged about realizing you were a sinner in the first truth, here's the hope. We have a God who forgives. We have a God who takes away our iniquities. Amen. Is that not good news?
That's great news.
I'm sorry. I mean, I was excited about it. I hope that you're excited about it. I mean, I'm not asking for your amen, but I'm looking for a smile. I'm looking for a yes, sir. I'm looking for that's a God of love. I'm looking for that's a God I serve. Amen. Yes. Thank you for that forgiveness, Jesus. Thank you for getting on that cross when I didn't deserve it. Thank you for calling me. I don't need your applause, but He does. He deserves it. Verse 6, then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. The altar is a place of sacrifice to God. God is right here in and of Himself making atonement for the sins of Isaiah, because only He can do it. He's still the only one that can do it. Look at verse 7. It's a beautiful picture. He touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is forgiven. Moments ago, he's on his face. I imagine he probably still is, thinking that he's undone, thinking he's deserving of death in this moment before God. And God in His grace, and God in His love, and God in His mercy makes atonement for this man's sin and extends it to him. Isaiah does not argue or attempt to justify himself. Oh, Lord, but I've been in the temple so many days. Oh, Lord, but I have followed all these commandments. Oh, Lord, I have done all these things. I'm from a great family. We're your chosen people. None of that. He doesn't respond that I see anything. No justification of himself. He knew he was guilty. He knew, woe is me, I am undone. And God takes away his iniquity. God forgives him of his sin. In this act, right here in this moment, we're in the Old Testament, but this act points forward for the plan that God had for us through His Son, Jesus Christ, who would one day come, born of a virgin, live a perfect life, willingly give His life on the cross, and shed His blood so that we would have atonement as well.
Amen.
Only God can forgive sins. Some want to earn their own forgiveness. Some think they have sinned beyond God's forgiveness. We want to so badly to show that we are worthy in some way. God, look at me. Look at the things that I have done. I am worthy, though. I have made these efforts. Listen to this. God does not call the worthy. He makes the unworthy clean. None of us are worthy. I'm not worthy. I don't believe it. I'm not just saying it. I don't believe it. I know I'm not. That's the beautiful part, is that I'm not, but He is. Let's talk about the demoniac for just a second. It's a story you're all familiar with. I think I may have talked about it recently. That's okay. You need to hear it again if I have. I could read it every day. It's a beautiful picture. We've got a demoniac. He's filled with demons. He's terrorizing the town. They can't control him. He is a loose cannon over there. Jesus gets in a boat, goes across the lake for one man. The demoniac didn't send Jesus a letter that I know of and said, "Hey, Jesus, I'm really struggling over here. Could you come see me?" No, I didn't see that. Jesus says, "We're going over there." He goes over there. What does he do? Does he chastise him? Get on him? Tell him how bad he is? Tell him all those things? No. He gives him grace. He gives him mercy. He casts out the demons. He makes him clean. Then what does he do? He commissions him. Jesus forgives him. Jesus makes him worthy. And then he commissions him to go. That's the order. God doesn't say, "Chris, buddy, you've got to get yourself right before you can come to me. You've got to do X, Y, and Z, and then I might consider you worthy." No, I don't read that. I read that God makes people worthy. God forgives their sins. But today, the devil is still out there doing a great work of trying to convince everyone, just work harder, and when you get it all, get your life put together, and you get this Christian thing figured out, then Jesus will accept you. You can't do that. You're not capable because you're not holy. God does that. You come to Him, and He does the work for you. That's really beautiful. I compete with the demoniac for unworthiness. I have faced the fact that I am unworthy. But I've also faced the fact that God can and will make us worthy. Until we face that, we will keep waiting until we feel worthy or in some way, instead of trusting God and giving Him the credit and the glory for being the only one that could do it. Has the Holy Spirit made you aware of your sinfulness? He has not only made me aware of my sinfulness originally, He makes me aware of my sinfulness daily. Have you asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins this morning? Really, have you? I'm asking, you don't answer out loud. I'm not asking for that, but I really, in your heart, answer. Have you asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins? If you have not, today is a glorious day to do that, to believe that Jesus can forgive sins and to ask Him for that forgiveness that He's already provided. And for the rest of us, do we continue to trust that Jesus' blood was sufficient to forgive us? That's another lie the devil likes to tell you. Well, He forgave you that one time, but look at all you've done since that time. Jesus' blood can cover all sins. Any and all. I make no exceptions to that. The only one that the Bible talks about is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, which is disbelief. And as long as you believe, it looks like the rest of them fall under the rest of His coverage. This moment of forgiveness in Isaiah's life was critical and must not be overlooked. A similar moment is a critical step for you to get to the place where you can say, "Send me, Lord." He was forgiven first. So if you have not faced your sinfulness, if you have not been broken over your sinfulness and cried out to Jesus for forgiveness, this could be your moment. Actually, you have been prayed for that it is your moment. We petition God that He would save souls because He's the only one that can do it. And this could be that moment of an answered prayer this morning through true belief, true faith in Jesus Christ, and asking for forgiveness of sins this morning. Only God can take away our iniquity and forgive our sin. If we're going to get a place to where we can say, send me, then we must embrace that. God sends cleansed servants with His message. His message. Verse 8, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? This is interesting. God, after showing Himself to Isaiah, after cleansing Isaiah's sin, just kind of steps back and said, who will send? Who's going to go before us? Beautifully, Isaiah just speaks up. Here I am. Send me. Not, well, Lord, let's talk about this a little more. What are we talking about here? What's the message like? And what all is this going to require? Is this weekends and holidays? Are we looking at, are people going to be upset? Are people going to be really happy? I don't read that he asked anything. He just said, here I am, send me. I think that's the heart God wants from each and every one of us today. Verse 9, he said, go and tell this people. And now pay attention to this. Pay attention to this message. Pay attention to it. Go and tell this people, keep on listening, but do not perceive. Keep on looking, but do not understand. Render the hearts of this people insensitive, their ears dull, their eyes dim. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and return and be healed. What? That's the message? God provides the message to proclaim. Who are we? Who is the clay to talk to the potter and say, let's talk about your message, God? Did you think about this? I don't think that's a question for a sovereign God. This message is a tough one to hear. And Isaiah is called to repeat the same message over and over and over to the same people. Isaiah's success will be measured by one thing. You know what his success will be measured by? Faithfulness to say the same message over and over and over to the same people. Isaiah does ask one question. He says, look in verse 11, then I said, Lord, how long? And he answered, until cities are devastated and without inhabitant, houses are without people, and the land is utterly desolate. The Lord has removed men from far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. Yet there will be a tenth portion in it, and it will again be subject to burning like a terebinth or an oak whose stump remains when it is felled. The holy seed is its stump. Isaiah asked one question, Lord, how long? He doesn't ask why. He doesn't ask, are you sure? He doesn't ask God to soften the message. He doesn't ask if God will provide for him if he's faithful to this message. In the end, we see God's grace and mercy, even though it's a difficult message. God will preserve a remnant. God will preserve a stump. And in case you're wondering, that is going to be Jesus Christ will be preserved and come through all of that. Amen. I'm a victim and a user of the world's scoreboard. You can get mad at me. You can be disappointed in me. I'm a disappointed myself. I am as good as anybody else at getting called up. Well, how many people were over at the church house this morning? How many did you have? Well, how many did they have over here? How many people came to the front to pray at the altar at the end of it? How many people gave their life to the Lord this morning? How many people came down to follow the Lord in believers' baptism? How many people came up and was wondering about joining the church at Blount Springs Baptist Church? We love that. We love tangible, measurable things that we can look back and go, well, look, we were faithful. I mean, we had like at least 90 people this morning. We did good. But here's the truth, is that God's scoreboard and the world's scoreboard are two different things. God calls us to faithfulness, not tangible, visible, audible results that the world tells us measure whether we're being faithful or not. Sometimes obedience to God will look like an absolute disaster and failure train wreck to the world. But if you've been faithful to God, He's sitting there going, yes, sir. That's exactly what I called you to do. Don't worry about what they're saying. They don't know. They don't have a clue. But you were faithful. Jeremiah, bless his heart. Anytime I ever start thinking about maybe I should start having a pity party for Philip in my ministry, just go read Jeremiah. Jeremiah was called to preach to a people who would never listen. Who's signing up for that ministry? Jeremiah 7:27, you shall speak all these words to them, but they will not listen to you. And you shall call to them, but they will not answer to you. Okay. The prophet's responsibility is not to manufacture repentance. But to faithfully deliver the message God gave him. Today, I'm afraid the devil is winning in many parts of our country. Don't tell them the truth. Don't tell them that they're sinners. I mean, I broke all the rules this morning. I done said you wasn't holy. I said you was a sinner. Why? Because I want to be ugly to you? Because I'm mad that you came this morning? No. Because the only way you ever going to get anywhere is by hearing the truth. God never said it'd be easy for you to hear. He never said it'd be easy for me to preach. And it ain't. I don't like telling you those things. I don't like for you to feel bad. But I do want to tell you the truth, because guess what? I'll be held accountable for that one day. And all the ugly looks and all the things are going to pale in comparison to me stopping being faithful to what God's called me to do. So everything I say is out of love. I think you know that, but I want to tell you that. Isaiah will be successful in God's eyes if he preaches God's message without watering it down. If he preaches God's message until only the stump remains. There's going to be some perseverance needed. So I've confessed my sins to you. So I put the question to you, whose scoreboard are you using? In your own personal ministry, in your own walk with the Lord, are you using the world's scoreboard to see if you're faithfully following God? Or are you using God's scoreboard and looking if you're being faithful to what He's called you to do? I want to tell you, this one right here, the world side is never going to be an accurate reflection of your faithfulness to the Lord. We must remain focused on God's Word and what God has called us to do. And we've got to continue to share God's message until when? I'm going to say he calls you home. I read this morning. I thought it was a late entry into the sermon. We've got to reject looking to the world to measure our ministry and our faithfulness. We've got to stay focused on obeying what God has commanded. Luke 6:46, Jesus says this. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say? Makes a lot of sense, for real. Why do we call Jesus Lord and then not live out anything that He's called us to live? That makes no sense. It's going to be hard. It is hard. It's hard for me to share. It's been hard for me to preach some of these sermons that I've preached here at Blunt Springs. There's some that I have poured over, wish it didn't say what I thought it said. But at the end of the day, that's where we have to come back to. Who are you calling Lord, Lord? And are you following Him? Does that matter to you? We got to stay faithful to the message God has given in His Word. And we got to remember, I've got to remember, that God is going to provide for us in our faithfulness to Him no matter what. It may not look like world provision, but it'll be the provision we need. Only God can call us and empower us to serve Him. The question is not just, will you go? This is not a motivation sermon to send off a missionary or to get you to serve the church or whatever. That's not what this is about. I mean, that's great if you want to do any of those things. But the question is, have you truly seen God? Have you truly been cleansed by Him? And are you surrendered to His mission regardless of the outcome? Isaiah, when we go back and look, Isaiah had these four things. He had an awe of God's holiness. He had an awareness of his own sinfulness. He had confidence and the atonement that God had given him. And I believe, after he asked that second question, he had a realistic expectation of the difficulty of what he was fixing to do for the Lord. Jeffrey, you and the team can come up. I don't believe I'm out of context by saying what I'm about to say. I believe in my heart that God is still asking this morning, today, 2026, whom shall I send? The question this morning, I don't think, is whether God has called His people to faithfulness. I don't believe any of us are wondering that this morning, that God has called us to be faithful. I think the question this morning is whether we'll be obedient to what God has called you to do. Not because we're worthy. Not because the results will gain us applause from the world. Way to go. That's a great job. No. But because the Holy King, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of all the universe, has revealed Himself, has cleansed our sinfulness, and has given us His message to take to the world. That should be our motivation. That is when we can stand and say, "Here I am, Lord. Send me."